Welcome to this edition of Father's Call, brought to you through the auspices of Father's House Bible Church. And speaking on behalf of the church, it's me, Dr. Lee, the senior pastor of the church. Today, I'm going to be speaking to you from the theme, The King at the Door. And the text is taken from the book of Revelation, chapter 3, verse number 20. And I read, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me." Shall we pray? Our Father in heaven, we thank you for these glorious words. We know that these words were written to us who live at the end of the ages, so that we can give glory to your holy name and be conformed to the image of your Son. Lord, show us your glory in these words. Show us your glory, for in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. These words were spoken in the letter of our Lord to the church in Laodicea. The words were spoken by our Lord outside the church. These words apply to those within the doors of the church. It is addressed to individuals. The door at which he stood knocking was the door of the church, yet it was to one man that he made his appeal, the door of a man's heart. Here is a church bearing the name of the Lord, gathering together for his worship and boasting in its sufficiency. But our Lord's estimate of the church is that it is Christless. He was not in their midst. He was outside the church. Such a picture is frightening to all of us who are members of the body of Christ and are involved in church life. "He that had an ear, let him hear what the Spirit said to the churches." This is an influential church, but without the influence of the Holy Spirit. Look at the way the church estimates itself according to our Lord. In verse 17, "Thou sayest, I am rich and have gotten riches and have need of nothing." That was the language of the church. That was what the church thought of itself. "We have banks. We have great buildings. We have restaurants. We have private jets. We have colleges. We have schools. We have all kinds of amenities. We are influential." But listen to our Lord's estimate of the church. It was very different. Verse 17, it says, "Thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked." The phrase "wretched" means burdened one. We often hear of churches being burdened with debt, but here we see a church burdened with wealth. That was our Lord's estimate of the church or individual. Our Lord's view of this church is pitiable, for such is the thought of the next word, miserable. The church is miserable. It is not that the church is conscious of its own misery, but it was a miserable condition in the eyes of our Lord. "We have need of nothing," said the church in verse 17. But our Lord said, "Thou art poor and blind and naked." This is a church without the influence of the Holy Spirit. Wealthy, but poor. Satisfied, but pitiable. I am confronting the possibility that a church may bear the name of the Lord, may be perfectly satisfied with its own success and its own influence, and boast in the fact that it has now become wealthy and has need of nothing. While yet the master is outside, declaring it to be pitiable and poor and blind and naked. Now, hear his words to such a church. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. He has not yet abandoned the church. If he is excluded from his own church, he still stands near to that church. How near? At the very door and knocking. And what do you think he's asking for? For one man, who will let him in? He is promising that if there be one man within the church who comes to the consciousness of the poverty and misery and blindness, and if that man will admit the master, he will come in and set up the table of perfect fellowship with that man. Before we go deeper into the text, let us look at the opening statements of this letter. Verse 14, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Look at this wonderful description of Jesus, the Amen. The Amen reminds us that he is the essential, the final truth. It is the equivalent of the word which fell from the lips of our Lord when he said, I am the truth, in John 14, 6. The faithful and true witness. In his dealings with men, he is faithful, dependable. He is true. The beginning of the creation of God. This is the teaching of the letter to the Colossians. This Christ is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. You see, he is the head of the church. Christ is the head of the church. Now, listen to the text in verse 20. He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. There are two things I want you to notice. First, the attitude of Christ. Second, our responsibility based on our Lord's attitude. What is our Lord's attitude? He is the excluded one. Excluded from heaven by love and excluded on earth by hate. He came to his own, and his own received him not. But he's excluded from the church by lukewarmness. Look at the church again. They did not know he was outside. They thought they were Christians. They named his name. They professed to believe his teaching. They are a fully organized church. They did not know, did not dream that he was outside. I believe that the Lord is not here speaking to a man who is openly anti-Christian. I believe that at the door of that man's heart and life also Christ is knocking. But the peculiar application of this word of Christ is to the man who is a Christian by name. I am born again. Is the Lord speaking to you? I'm talking to you. Is the Lord speaking to you? How can we find out if the Lord is here speaking to us? How shall we find out whether we individually are poor, pitiable, blind, naked, and devoid of essential Christian character? There is one test, one very simple but very suggestive and very searching. How shall we detect the difference between the church with Christ in the midst and the church with his name in the midst and himself excluded? How shall we detect the difference between the man truly Christian and the man who names the name of Christ but is not Christian? What is the testing word? There it is. Lukewarmness. Look at verse 15. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou were cold or hot. The statement should have been translated frozen or hot. Look at verse 15. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. That is the test. Can you sing about the cross without tears, without crying? Can you talk about the holiness of God without trembling? Are you lukewarm? Then it is more difficult for Christ to deal with you than with a frozen man. The most difficult congregation in the world to preach the gospel to is the congregation that regularly listens to it and refuses to obey it. The one man it is hardest to bring into living relationship with Christ is the man who sits right there in front of the preacher, Sunday after Sunday. He hears the message, but never answers it. Admires it, talks to his friend about it, and agrees as to the accuracy of it, but in the center of his own life, does not obey it. That man is lukewarm. Behold, I stand outside and knock, says the Lord. I do not think there will ever be any hope of Christ finding his way into the central life of some of us until God, in his infinite mercy, awakens us to the fact that he is not within but outside. What does our Lord want? He is excluded. He is asking to come in. Our Lord wants room in your heart and life, notwithstanding the fact that you have excluded him by your own will, notwithstanding the fact that you have insulted him by your patronage and admiration while you have withheld your obedience. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. What does he want to do if he comes in? To give you gold instead of poverty. The real wealth, not the fake wealth that you have. To provide you with the white raiment so that the shame of your nakedness do not appear. With gentle fingers to do for you what he did for the blind man long ago. Anoint your eyes with salve until the light shall stream on them. And you shall see. What is the Lord saying? He has described your condition, burdened, pitiable, poor, blind, naked. And he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. With wealth for thy poverty, with sight for thy blindness, with raiment for thy nakedness. Why does he want to come in for? He wants you to be his host. He's asking for your hospitality. He wants to be your host. He desires to give you hospitality. I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. I will be his guest. He shall spread the table for me. I will be his host and he shall sit at my table. Here is God, robbed of one of his own homes, so long as it's excluded from the heart of a man. In Isaiah 57:15, I read, for thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabited eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit. The dwelling place of God is in eternity and in the heart of man. Jesus says, I want to come in to my own home. I built it, furnished it,
cleaned it up.
Will you let me in? Will you make room for him in your heart? What is our responsibility? It is to admit him. Christ will not force an entrance. It is our responsibility to open the door. Will you open the door for the Lord? The Lord is standing at the gate of your heart and is still knocking. You see, the Lord here is speaking to people who go to church Sunday after Sunday, seeking to be blessed with material wealth. The Lord here is speaking to pastors who come to the pulpit Sunday after Sunday, teaching the people on how to be wealthy. And now you are wealthy. You have used the power of God. You have used the wisdom of God to accumulate wealth. And in doing so, you have inadvertently driven the Lord outside the church. You are wealthy. You describe yourself as wealthy. But the Lord says, no, thou art poor, thou art blind, and thou art naked. You have used the power of God to accumulate wealth for yourself. And the Lord is outside your heart. He is outside your church. And the Lord says, this situation is pitiable. You know, the church in this country has equated wealth with spirituality and holiness. If you are wealthy, you are holy. If you are wealthy, you are spiritual. This is the church. But the Lord is saying that you are poor, blind, and naked. Remove the money equation from our churches today, and the church will be empty. Why? Because people will no longer want to go to church. People go to church today because they want to be wealthy. They want to be prosperous. There is none that is seeking after the Lord. I am filled with the Holy Ghost. There is none that is using the power of the Holy Ghost to seek after the Lord. As you can see, the Lord is here speaking to you and I who are born again. The Lord is speaking to people who are filled with the Holy Ghost and members of the body of Christ. The Lord is speaking to people who come to church Sunday after Sunday, and seeking to be wealthy, and seeking to be prosperous. Is there anything wrong in that? No, there's nothing. There's probably nothing wrong with that. But what the Lord is saying here is that in the process of seeking after your prosperity, in the process of seeking money, and thinking that, yes, I have finally arrived. I am now wealthy. I have made it. And boasting of it, instead of boasting of your righteousness in the Lord. The Lord says that thou art poor, blind, and naked. In other words, you are foolish. In other words, you are not seeking after the right thing. You are not seeking after the righteousness of God. For the word says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall follow. We are not supposed to seek after these things. If there is anything that we should seek after, it is after the Lord. And all of these things, they are to follow and not be sought after. And the Lord is saying to you, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Will you open the door? Will you open the door, child of God? Remember, you are the temple of the Son of the living God. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. But now that you have started amassing and hoarding the things of this world, inadvertently, you have driven the Lord outside. And the Lord is coming to you and is saying to you, my son, I've been driven outside. I am outside, and I'm knocking at the door of your heart. Will you let me in? Will you open the door of your heart and let him in? Now let me speak to you who is not born again. The Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Do you have any problems with that? Have you not sinned? Have you not stolen before? Have you not committed adultery before? Have you not committed fornication before? Have you not lied before? I am asking you, do you have problems with this word that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God? God will punish every sin. God will punish you. Irrespective of who you are, God will punish you as a sinner. But God is a God of justice. That's why he will punish every sin. God is also a God of love. That's why he sent his only begotten Son. God loves you. It is because of this love that he sent his only begotten Son to take the punishment for your sin. You see, it's a combination of the justice of God and the love of God. God, your Father in heaven, is the judge of the whole world. He must be fair in his justice, but he loves you. That's why he sent his only begotten Son to take the punishment that you were supposed to take. And he took the punishment on your behalf. And in taking the punishment on your behalf, he set you free. It is not that you are inherently righteous, but you are declared righteous. He set you free, and then you are declared righteous. It is a judicial declaration. Whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Will you receive this offer today? All God wants you to say is that, yes, it is true, I have stolen before. It is true, I have lied before. It is true, I have slept where I should not sleep. I have committed fornication and adultery before. And now, I'm turning away from all of these things. I'm turning away and I'm turning towards you. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and my Savior. Are you ready to say that? Then bow your head. Let us say it together. Just say it after me. Thank you, Lord. I know that the Lord Jesus has never been in my heart. He has always been outside my heart. But today, I am ready to let him come into my heart. So, Lord Jesus, forgive me my sins. I have sinned. I have lied. I have stolen before. I have committed fornication or adultery before. I have done many things that I cannot remember. That is against your will. But today, I have come to myself and I say that I am sorry. I turn away from my sins and I turn towards you. Come into my heart and stay. Be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for coming into my heart. For in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
And this word came to you from Father's House Bible Church.